Hello and welcome to Gatsby Fridays, a show about living the best out of a creative life from two creative directors working around the world and based in New York City.
I'm your host, Alex Tremilio.
And I'm Sarah Semi.
On our final episode of the season, we talk about the one and the only Keanu Reeves.
We take a look at what he has meant to our culture landscape and his iconic legacy.
So hang with us as we strive to be excellent to each other and party on, dudes! In our season finale, Pop Culture Legacy, Keanu Reeves.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alex. And this is Gatsby Fridays.
Okay.
Better, yeah. What are you on, dudes?
Before we get into our conversation about Keanu, let's do a check-in. Alex, how are you and what are you wearing?
I am so excited about this episode.
We've been waiting for this one for a long time.
For a long time. And we do these Pop Culture Legacy episodes at the end of every season. And the last three seasons have always been women.
Well, one of them was a notebook.
One of them was a notebook. So the last two have been women. Let's say women or notebooks. But I was excited that we finally picked a male figure, a good male figure.
The best.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, like in the news, especially this year.
What are you wearing?
Oh.
I just like you're talking about Keanu Reeves.
I'm just still thinking about like all the guys who've done really bad stuff this year. That's all.
Oh, there was a post on The Cut today about how men have been terrible.
Yeah.
And like they just keep like all the photos in one collage, The Cut style. And it's like, men, take a break.
Good Lord. Okay. I'm wearing, you know, it's getting cool, really cold. So I'm wearing a plaid shirt, red plaid shirt, blue jeans, and some Jordans.
No sweater?
No, you know why? Because I have a very warm coat. How are you and what are you wearing? You're wearing your uniform.
No, this is a different color sweater.
It's still a gray sweater.
It's not a black sweater. It's cold.
Yeah?
I'm wearing jeans and a sweater and my coat. So my warm coat. So I need both. I can't do without the sweater in this weather.
'Tis the season.
Men do different things in the cold. I can't. I need like layers and the biggest sweaters possible.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm at the end of the year stress of finalizing projects. So I'm ready for this week to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take a deep breath and then I'll sleep. And I'm excited.
For sleep.
For sleep, for wrapping up the year, you know? Yes, I'm excited about sleep. I sleep a lot. And I need a lot of sleep, and it freaks people out how much I sleep. So, like, in the fact that I haven't been, you know, getting enough sleep lately is not, you know, I'm ready.
Okay.
For, like, under the covers, sleep for 3 solid days.
That sounds like heaven. That sounds like vacation to me.
Exactly. I'm waiting for the work to be over so I can be on vacation. And we're, like, right at the end of it, so I'm just like, yes, almost.
I'm ready for it.
Like, everything is wrapping up at the same time. So, like, my big projects are wrapping up because of the end of the year. This one, we didn't line it up that way. Like, we didn't intend it to end at the end of the year, but it's kind of like a nice, like, stopping point.
Yes, I agree.
Everything's going to wrap up nicely at the end of the year. And we'll, so we can talk about next season.
Oh, boy. Sarah, Keanu has been in our collective consciousness spanning decades, over 30 years. What's your first memory of discovering his greatness?
Two things to remember. I'm younger than you, and I grew up halfway around the world in the 90s before the internet was available and things were immediately globally released. So I remember the first time I heard his name was Speed.
Yes.
Excellent
movie.
I was never an action movie person, so it didn't really, like, I remember him, I remember the movie, I vaguely remember, he was never, like, my crush on screen. It turns out that I was misguided in that, my crush was Johnny Depp, and I'm horrified.
Oh, man, well, how did that switch? Man!
This is golden.
That really...
Now, I remember, like, I think my first impression was Matrix, and we talked about this in the Matrix episode from last season, that like I was in college, there was a free screening, I didn't have a TV, so I just went to see a free movie on campus. Like, I had no idea what I was watching, I had no idea of the greatness that was going to impact my whole adult life after that.
Ooh.
And he was in a lot of like, he was in a lot of like romantic comedies in around
in the,
that
in
time.
The 90s.
There was like, there was one with Sandra Bullock, like they were trying to like reach somewhere. Like, I don't know. He was, and he was always like this, like really like, there was one with Charlize Theron when she was like,
oh, the lake.
Her with, no, I think that one. I think she did, he did two with Sandra Bullock, and then there's a Charlize Theron one in San Francisco. I remember she was blow drying her hair with vacuum cleaner. It's weird stuff. Like, she was sick, dying, like 2000s, like girl is dying, sweetheart boy kind of things. Like, there was the one where he was the war veteran, she falls in love with the pregnant woman. That was actually a beautiful movie. There's a lot of like romantic movies that he did in like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
All of those things, I knew who he was. Our biggest, biggest one that I have not even gotten there, and you were just like, I'm surprised you didn't catch me on this. Point Break, my friend.
Well, that's
See,
there is no movie like Point Break.
There is no movie like Point Break. Even then, I think he, I always thought he was just like this like confused little dude. Okay.
Yes.
And he was kind of confused in Point Break too, and he was confused in Matrix too. So like that was fit. Like, he was just like this confused, like deep voice, like nerdy dude. And there's Patrick Swayze, so I didn't care about him. I was in love with Bodhi. So like, it's just that, you know, like until the Matrix, I knew he was there. I just never paid attention.
That's interesting that the Matrix was, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Matrix, excellent. That's where, not a chasm, but like the shift between us is, because I think my first impression was My Own Private Idaho, because I was in school 4 years before you. And during screenings of just movies at the college, that came on, and it was my first, also it was my first movie that I saw with River Phoenix. And I remembered like watching, and it was directed by Gus Van Sant. And
yeah, I don't like Gus Van Sant. I think that that's why I think it's weird. That movie was so weird.
Gus Van Sant is an acquired taste, but he's I like him.
Oh no, I can't like I can't watch his movies. Like of all the things.
You didn't see
like,
Elephant?
I can't like all of it.
You didn't see Jerry? That was such a good movie.
Like, I watched the one with the Columbine. Like it was.
Oh, that's the Elephant. I feel like
probably why. Like I was also too young to maybe even understand what I was looking at, because that I caught it on a VHS at my mom's cousin's house when I was in high school.
Mm.
Because they used to come to the US all the time. Like there was no like no streaming, nothing. Like they brought it probably because it was released newly. They just picked out whatever. Like, and I was, they didn't know what I was watching. There's a lot of like, you know, nudity in that. I remember it was weird. So, you know, at that age, I wouldn't have been allowed to watch that. Like, you know,
what
parents
gym.
Are partying in the other room, and I'm like, what is this? Like, because I was so excited because it was River Phoenix was in it.
Yes.
Because he was so beautiful. But yeah, no, I that part is just always like, that's why maybe like he never registered. There was always someone else that I was interested in any movie that he was in.
I feel like he registered to me because My Own Private Idaho, especially that aesthetic of like that grunge Seattle aesthetic was just the thing that was going on during the time that I was in college, and that became like the trend in fashion, and it became kind of the cultural trend, like this like drifter. Especially when I was in school, I was by myself a lot. So I identified with the character with the exception of the hustling. But I felt like that was the singular point that said to me, this guy's on the radar now. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start paying attention.
Like I was always like that until much later in life.
That drifter style that he has in that movie is so on trend right now.
Like, no,
so good.
It's for me, like, yeah, all of that, like, he was always in the right movies with the right people. It just, he never made as much of an impact until Matrix for me. And I always, like I said, thought that because he's got that, like, you know, withdrawn, nerdy, like, 90s dude, it always was like, well, he's the same role in every one of them. It's just a different, like, story around him.
But he's the same. I don't know if he's the same. It's the same role.
It's not exactly. I'm just saying, like, you know, a confused guy. Matrix. He's so confused.
Yes.
So conflicted at all times.
He does that very well, though.
I think that's so good. How, who he is.
He does that very well.
He's so confused in Point Break. He's torn between his conscious and he's just like, you know, he's the nerd that they're making fun of as a surf boy. Like,
actually.
Like, he's always the nerd with a little bit of like a, he's always the nerd that's cool enough to hang with the cool stuff.
Yes.
Or like to be with the edgy people, but he's just more.
I feel like in Point Break, I mean, and that's the thing, like, to me, Point Break is a very significant movie. It's probably my favorite movie of all time. But there is an arc of his character that really goes from goofball, you know, rookie FBI agent to seasoned detective, so to speak. When he goes out, look, I don't want this to be a whole conversation about Point Break, but I'm just saying that he does have range.
Check out our Point Break episode on Apple and Spotify.
And Speed. And Speed was another one that I thought, oh, this guy, like, he does these action movies where it's the first time I saw an action movie star tired. Like, tired, and he's really, and that's really become a thing now, especially when we start talking about John Wick, I guess, because most action movies, the hero is always ready to go. As soon as they're knocked down, they jump back up. And he was the first one that, like, to get knocked down and stay knocked down. And then finally get back up. Also, an interesting tidbit was I saw Speed with my mom. And she didn't understand what was going on. I was like, Mom, you know, the bus, it can't go under 55. And she goes, well, that's crazy. Yes, that's why it's called Speed.
That's cute. No, the John Wick series, I didn't watch because I don't care much about action movies, but the article that you sent me for this episode talks a lot about that.
Yes.
Part of the reason that whole series is so slow and, like, it created a whole new style of action is because they didn't have the budget. I love stories like that where it's like, oh, they did this whole stylistic thing, and they're like, no, we did it in one shot because we only had one camera.
Yeah, I love stories like that.
Like, the first guy gets killed and goes around, like, the line and then, like, has to get killed at the end because we only have so many people. Like, it was just like, oh, interesting. So that whole tiredness is part of it.
Yes.
Like, that whole, like, production stories. I love, like, backstories of,
I love,
like,
that.
How things sometimes come out of limited.
What's the famous one? Truffaut's, was it the 400 Blows, I think, where it just ends with the character at the ocean, and he's looking at the ocean, and the screen just turns black, and everyone, because he just ran out of film, and everyone speculated for years, what did he mean by that? And it's like, and at the end, like, when he was 90, before Truffaut died, he was like, I just ran out of film. I had to cut the movie there, and I was like, oh, well, I don't like that answer, but.
But he also says that he didn't think that he was going to, like, play action figures till this age, right? Like, it's the guy that we directed Wick was his stunt double or something like that?
It was
that?
His stunt coordinator.
Okay, so, like, you know, like, it's just very, like, interesting to see this guy explore all of these avenues and end up the biggest action star. And he's so not, like, you're saying he's tired, but I'm looking at him, it's like, he's not like Marvel six pack blown up.
Exactly.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Dude.
He's just a guy who actually doesn't want to be. He actually doesn't want to be doing what he's doing, and he is forced to do that. And you totally see that on his face, in his actions. I mean, John Wick, even though you're not an action person, is beautiful.
If it, you know,
stunningly beautiful.
Sometimes someone makes me watch it, I'll end up watching it. I'm not against it. I just, like, it never lined up for me to see it. I just know that it's, like, a whole deal, and that article was very interesting to read about it. So now I'll watch it with a different set of eyes than I would have otherwise.
You should.
But it's just very interesting to see his entire career going from, like, romantic comedies and then action. Like, from Matrix on, he didn't go back to that stuff. He stayed, like, a guy's guy.
Yes.
Guy's movies. Like,
he's pulling a Liam Neeson, where Liam Neeson, as he ages, just does these types of movies that he's, I mean, Liam Neeson's a great actor, And he could probably do more, but he just settled into who he is and doing all these taken movies.
I don't know. I mean, this, I'm totally going to make an assumption here.
Yes.
And say, if I'm 55, and these are the things that are coming at me, if I get to do whatever I want in life outside of that, and this is how you're going to just keep adding more money to the bank, and you're still paying you to act, then, I mean...
Yeah. I'm not against it.
There was a,
Someone
told me that Alan Rickman once said, like, you know, he's buying stuff for his friends or something, and like there was a whole like, well, you know, you don't need to do that. And he goes, I have two words for you, Harry Potter, and that was it. And it's like, you know, at that age, like, you do one of those things, and then that's it.
Set for life.
I mean, you know, like, I think John Wick has that. The story of it is kind of like. Dirty Dancing, where no one took it seriously, no one expected anything out of it, and I like an underdog coming out to be the star story. So,
except Dirty Dancing Havana Nights was not that great. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, The Last Matrix was not good either. So.
Ooh, and the remake of Point Break was not that great either.
Well, but he was not in that one.
He was not in that one.
So and then yeah, so then whatever that other Dirty Dancing thing was, that's not. That's not even relevant.
Yes.
So what do you think makes him unique as an actor?
It depends on what decade and what era you were introduced to Keanu Reeves. Like I said earlier, I was introduced to more of his indie movies, and his indie movies aligned with what I was feeling at the time that I was watching them. So for me, there are like three distinct eras that cemented his legacy for me. And definitely the first one is My Own Private Idaho, when I saw him in that.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went dormant for a while, and then he started slowly coming up as an action star, and that became a thing. Actually, in between that, he did he did Shakespeare, he did Dracula, he did movies that he wasn't the best in, but I like the fact that he actually decided to go outside of what his own comfort zone was and do other things. Even if it was not going to make him money, or if it was not going to gain him notoriety, he just tested things out. You know, Point Break was another one when I started seeing him as this action star, this unique action star. And maybe because everything worked in that movie, Patrick Swayze, the premise, you know, Catherine Bigelow, the director, and him made this movie incredible. So I think that's another era. And then of course, The Matrix, like we talked about before, and how when I first saw The Matrix, like everyone, it blew my mind. But more importantly, I didn't think he would have been good in it. But he was perfect for that role.
See, I didn't care about him enough to be surprised by him in the role. I was just surprised by the entire story. It was just like, you know, college is like a whole different time for me because, you know, I was living halfway around the world. I had no friends. ESL gets in the way sometimes. Like, you know, I didn't speak this fluently, so... I watched a lot of movies. There was like, they were showing anything on campus. There was like three nights a week there, and I couldn't afford a TV. So I just went to see movies by myself. This was just another thing. Maybe there was the shock of that, of being surprised. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone else on campus was waiting for this. Like, they'd seen the previews. I had no clue. I was just like that weird international student that showed up and came out like,
that's awesome, though.
My life has changed.
Oh, so, I love seeing stuff like that. Like,
so for me, like, I think I paid attention to him after that, because that whole story, I mean, again, check out our Matrix episode.
Yes.
From last season.
It's very good. It's a very good
Spotify.
One.
We clearly dedicated our two of our movie night episodes to this man's movies. So if there's any doubt about our love for Keanu, let me clarify. I love the man. I think he's just, he created all these very, he worked in very unique stories.
Yes.
I think maybe that's what is more important to me. Like, especially now, it's like everything's a remake. Like, they keep redoing things, and I'm like, just come up with a new story. I will always be more interested in hearing something I haven't heard before. And, you know, other than even the series of Matrix, they were building on a story. They were like extending it into the future. So it's not like a story that we heard before. It's just he did different things, like Speed and even the romantic comedies. Like, yes, there was the whole, like, sick girl dying, like, cookie cutterness. But, like, The Lake House, it was weird.
The Lake House, that's what it was called.
The Lake House is with Sandra Bullock, It wasn't my favorite, but it was. It stays in your mind because it was a different one. It wasn't the same. Oh yeah, like they fall in love, they fell apart, and then they came back together. It was just like this whole like whimsical thing about being in the same house. Like it's just interesting, different stories. I think he's always done different stories.
When we get back, we'll continue our conversation. This is Gatsby Fridays.
So, Alex, I know you are a huge film poster fan.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know you collected a whole bunch of his posters and everything. So, tell us about the like the graphic identity of Keanu Reeves.
So, what we try to do... What we try to do with our pop culture legacy episodes is we try to suss out the actual graphic iconography of the figures that we discuss. And one of the things about Keanu Reeves that I really gravitate to is the movie posters. My Own Private Idaho was a very beautiful poster of him and Keanu Reeves embracing on a motorcycle, no helmets, going down a road. I collected all of the Matrix posters
of
the first series. And the second movie, because the second movie was actually still good.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. And the posters were so much fire. And so I think, and also I can't forget Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Awesome. What that did to me was actually introduce me to a life that I was not very familiar with, because this whole slacker LA, slacker California thing, suburban California kind of mall rat-esque character was not something that I was familiar with growing up in Brooklyn.
Maybe that's why it never resonated with me when I was in high school. Because it's like, if you couldn't resonate in from Brooklyn, imagine it from halfway around the world.
But watching the movie now, especially, I don't know, 20, 30 years later, it's endearing. It's actually really cool and very sweet.
I'm sure it's endearing and endearing now. It's nostalgic. We all go back to like the old styles. I just did that last season of Stranger Things, and I'm like always mesmerized about how nostalgic American pop culture itself is
always. Like, we love ourselves and we love our history.
Like it's as fraught that it is that far back, but yes. So then that whole reminiscing and like it kind of develops on its own, and then you go back and refocus it and then make it even more, and then that becomes it's a thing it's of its own, and it's kind of like a eating itself and changing.
That's how we. Like, I feel like that's how we always are with every decade, like the resurgence of the '90s and how we've reinterpreted the '90s and rethink what the '90s now is so different from being in it. You know, we especially with fashion, we understand the hypocrisy of like paying $400 for a flannel, but like back then, there was no such thing. You bought a flannel because it was the thing that you bought because it kept you warm. And in My Own Private Idaho, they dressed because these were who these people were, not because it was fashion. But now, his wardrobe in that movie is fashion. It's wild.
I mean, it just kind of always repeats itself.
It
right?
always repeats so itself.
This, the culture of LA slacker is always going to be nostalgically sweet.
So hip.
You know?
It's so hip.
But also, LA is so in its own, like, its own reality. Like, when you live there, I feel like when I lived there, it felt like it had its own timeline. Like, live in your own universe in California, and the rest of the world goes at a different parallel to you in the next lane. You're still going in the same calendar timeline, but, like, they're next to you.
Totally
they're not,
different
like,
world.
It's just very strange mind. Mind setting, like I can't even explain it. Like you have to live there to understand the difference, I think. So that is always going to be nostalgic, but also it still exists in one form or another.
It's always there. Like I can guarantee you go to LA or you go to the West Coast, there are still people dressed like the way he dressed in in My Own Private Idaho.
Maybe going more south and south on the coast, kind of like how we're taking over every part of Brooklyn to like deeper into Brooklyn to like less gentrified, I guess. But there's all those like movies that came out in the early 2000s, like Dogs of Dogtown, like the Skater Boys,
yes.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, all of that LA culture it's its own thing. That's why they were so interesting. But by the time Dogs of Dogtown came out, I could understand what it was.
Mm-hmm.
When when Keanu Reeves' film came out. I watched it. It meant nothing, and I was like, it was a bunch of goofy dudes doing a bunch of goofy stuff, and I was like, whatever.
For money, because they were hustlers.
I'm not talking about Idaho. I'm talking about Ted and whatever.
What are you talking about?
Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Like, Bill and Ted, it's just, it didn't do anything for me at that age. Like, I was just like, I don't get it.
I think you need to watch it again.
Well, yeah.
I think you need to watch it again, because it's so good.
I'm sure. So good. But
yeah. And the second one, not to do a deep dive into Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure Part 2, but there is definitely a scene with death that is lifted off of the Ingmar Bergman film, The Seventh Seal. And you're like, they were at least thinking when they were making this movie.
Of course they were.
Which was good.
All of these movies, for people who are into movies, you see all those details. Like,
so much fun. Let me ask you. Now we have to get to controversies. Does he even have any?
Does he even have any? I think the only controversy I've ever heard was this past fall when the Matthew Prue book carry came out.
Yes.
And like, he took a stab, and everyone's like, really? Against Keanu Reeves?
Of all people.
Of all people. Like, just leave him be. Yeah. It's great. Like, it didn't even stick.
No, it didn't.
I don't even remember when this guy became this whole, like, viral sweetheart of the whole world. Like, he keeps doing these nice things, and people just keep getting amazed. And over time, these stories, like, urban myths keep reaching from, like, story to story. Like, oh, yeah, he bought an ice cream just so that he could autograph the receipt for me kind of stories. Like, I'm like, what? But there's such good stories. They make it everywhere. Like, if I know the story, I don't know who was in it.
And there's always a story. There's always another story about the one where his flight was canceled.
Yeah,
and
Bakersfield bus.
And then he just rented a van for everybody.
Yeah.
And got everyone to where they needed to be. Who does that?
He was also on a commercial flight. Like, what?
Yeah, so awesome.
All of those things. As a woman of over 40 now. And
you look great, by the way.
Dating, thank you. It's always the conversation is always the age difference, men dating younger women.
Oh,
and there was this. She wasn't an old lady. She was age appropriate. This woman that he came out to one of the the premieres with, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, like Keanu Reeves with an age appropriate woman." It's
just like, mind blowing. Mind blowing.
Like. That made me think, like, okay, so, you know, there are good people out in the world. It exists. Like, you know, New York dating scene is rough. You question. So, like, when you see someone like this on the screen, and like everyone went crazy over that.
So
like,
silly. She's a very beautiful woman, by the way.
Yes. And it's so silly. Like, it's silly, but it's a real thing. Like, for someone
yes, it is.
Made me feel like, oh, wow, like, that's great. That's like, okay, it exists out in the world. Like, yeah. So it's just like all these little stories, like the Bakersfield bus, I think, is going to go down in history of like the best Keanu Reeves story.
That's a fun one. Or him giving up his seat for a woman who had a lot of bags in New York City subway, who was taking the F to Queens for some reason.
There's, you know, like him buying motorcycles to everyone on set, like stuff donating like to children's charities. I'm like, the man is just like pure golden.
Yeah.
One
thing I want to backtrack on is during the 90s, he actually, just before he became, when he started doing more movies and became the superstar that he was, he actually quit acting and became a musician. He played bass for a band called Dogstar. And I remembered listening to Dogstar's music, and it's not wow indie music, but the fact that he was somebody that was on the scene, that knew what was going on. I remember when I thought, oh, Keanu Reeves is a cool guy, because I saw him wearing a Fugazi t-shirt, and I was like, he knows what's up. He knows good music. He's not going to try to make it, but he knows good music. And I respected him for that. And I respected him for just going out and trying something different.
Yeah.
And to be the bassist and not the lead singer of a band. The most receded into the background as he could possibly be, even though he was the most famous member of this band. And the only reason why people went to go see this band was because of him.
That's interesting perspective. I didn't even know I was in a band, so like just makes it more well-roundedly interesting.
Amazing guy.
And now for our favorite part of this and every episode, our signature cocktail. Alex, what do you have for Keanu Reeves?
So I am not entirely sure that Keanu Reeves drinks martinis. I would like to think he does. Seems like more of a beer guy. But I was thinking, he could be a bourbon guy. I could see him being a bourbon guy as well.
Motorcycles, guitars, bourbon.
Total. Yes. Actually, the answer is yes. But I decided.
What do I know?
I was thinking. No, I think you could be right. Actually, I feel like it all. You've made a very good equation that I didn't see, and I.
Man is always very surprising.
He could. You know. He could. He could drink. I wouldn't be surprised if he drank martinis. So what I decided was just thinking about the Matrix and thinking about the red pill and the blue pill. And I thought, I love martinis. I discovered a recipe for a cherry martini, which is one part vodka, half a part of cherry brandy, 1.5 parts of cherry juice with a little splash of lemon juice. And you just put that all in a shaker into a croupier glass and garnish with 2 cherries on top. And I thought that that would be a nice drink to have to commemorate this episode.
Sounds delicious.
Thank you for hanging with us. You can find the recipe for a cherry martini on our website, GatsbyFridays.com.
If you want to leave a comment, suggest a show topic, DM us at Instagram.
Don't forget to rate us and give us 5 stars. And write a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps to get us in front of more ears and build our audience. Or if you're a Spotify person, make sure to follow Gatsby Fridays.
Till next season.
This is Gatsby Fridays.